BearBets Podcast is back. I am your host, Chris Felica. Jeff Schwartz is here in our New York studios. Sammy P. and Will Hill will join us for the gambling group chat shortly. Well, it's never dull. It's never uninteresting in the NFL. That's for sure.
It is. The injuries this year for quarterbacks have just been brutal, man. Like, we're going to joke about it in the gambling group chat about the primetime unders as we talk about all these games for this week. But they're going under because the quarterbacks stink, because everyone's hurt. I mean, like, that's the thing, is all these quarterbacks are injured in the NFL. And, you know, every week it's someone new. It's Deshaun Watson this week, and I'm sure next week it'll be someone else, but
hope not.
Stafford's coming back, which is nice. At least you get one veteran back in the lineup. Josh Dobbs is playing well as a backup, and that's your great stories, obviously, around the NFL for some of these guys that are playing. But the quarterbacks are just getting hurt. It's a bad year for quarterback injuries.
It is, and one quarterback that you mentioned, Stafford coming back. Kyler Murray came back last week and led the Cardinals to a comeback win against the team that I love betting against, the Atlanta Falcons. Anyone that wants to wager on the Falcons, it's amazing that every week it seems the Falcons get like support in the market. Finally, this week it won't happen because the Cardinals don't play. The
Falcons are the team over the years. I've been wagering since mostly like 2017, since I retired, that they have given me the most trouble. They're the team I can't, either direction, over, under, on the Falcons against the Falcons, they're the worst team to wager on, in my opinion. Just my personal, like, least favorite team to wager on over the years. I don't like it.
Could Arthur Smith be on thin ice there?
Probably not, but I think it was foolish to go in the season thinking Desmond Ridder was your guy.
Correct.
That's the problem. Right. Is that his fault or the GM's fault? That's the question, right?
GM, but
the coaches always get blamed first, right? General managers rarely get blamed. The coach goes first.
That's what I love. I love that, like, you fire, in college football too, you fire these massive buyouts that you have for coaches. Like, we're going to fire the coach, but what about the guy responsible for making the 11 consecutive, like, awful hiring decisions?
Correct.
Like, they always manage to hang on to their job.
General managers in NFL have long shelf lives, where it seems like coaches, I mean, how many coaches did Steve Keim hire in Arizona? Like, it just seems to be that these GMs survive the coaching, even though they might hire a bad coach, because they don't provide them with the tools necessary to help them win. But the thing about Arthur Smith, though, is that he has some of the tools, doesn't use them, right? Bijan is basically a ghost on that team. They have Kyle Pitts, they have Drake London. I mean, they have weapons.
But he does
there.
So much more on the field when he's not seeing the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you take a guy overall to be a decoy.
Just something like running back in the first round, it makes it pretty simple. But I have Bijan Robinson under tickets, so I'll gladly. You know, I think I told you this year. I did every starting running back I could find their number. I took the under on. It's going to be very profitable for me. I think McCaffrey's going over for sure. Otherwise, I don't know who else right now is like for sure going over their rushing total for the season.
I've got a look. I have a bunch of like middles that I went before the season. Like,
yeah, the numbers vary pretty wildly.
I got to take a look and see how many of those, maybe there's middle opportunities that could potentially hit receiving yards, passing yards.
It's a lot of fun.
Rushing yards. I was bored when they first came out, and I just happened to down.
You don't have to give a reason why you wager on something, buddy. We all wager on these things. And so we're going to wager on games as we normally do. These are bets that Bear is making in real life. These are bets that he puts in his contest. These are bets he's given to you guys. We'll go over them right now. Then we'll get to gambling group chat. We'll do best bets with Survivor as well. We do it for the NFL week. So let's start with a game in the AFC South. It is the Tennessee Titans at Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a 7-point favorite. Total is 40. Tennessee is 3-6. They're 4-5 against the spread. Jacksonville 6-3 after getting dominated by the Niners in a game that I would never wager on. Who would take Jacksonville? That would be dumb. Exactly. They've covered in 6 of their 9 games.
Home dogs never do well.
No, never do well. Where are you going here, buddy?
I am taking the dog here. This feels like a Vrabel special. I mean, the Titans were not good last week. Like we talked about this game at length last week as we were on opposite sides, and I am not a believer in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
They've got some divisional pressure on them now.
Houston,
objects are a little closer than they appear in the rearview mirror. Again, I took the Titans plus the points here. Tennessee always feels like a team that whenever you want to completely write them off, and they looked so bad the week before, like Vrabel somehow uglies a game up, and you're gonna look up in the fourth quarter of this game, and it's going to be like 19-13. and Tennessee will have the ball and Ledbus will throw a pick and the Jaguars will hold on and win. So I took the 7 in Tennessee.
Vrabel's a dog is fantastic. He's the best underdog coach, right? Him and Tomlin and that's for him and Tomlin, right? The two best underdog coaches.
I would think so.
This is the fate of Jacksonville. I don't think there's much Tennessee love in this wager. It's more of just a Jacksonville fade, right? That Tennessee is a tough physical defense. Jacksonville, for whatever reason, offensively, mostly their offensive line is not able to block. They can't get anything down the field. So it's a kind of a dink and duck offense. And Will Levis, you know, he's been better than I think we thought.
He's shown some promise.
His ability to get the ball down the field, which they need desperately because they haven't had that in years now. So it's 7 points a lot in the NFL, especially in division games when both teams are competent. When you have Giants, Commanders at 9.5, and one team is, I wouldn't take the Commanders though, but one team is like not competent, and I can understand the number being where it is. Let's get to the game in Green Bay now. The Chargers are 4-5 on the season. They just lost a close game to the Lions by 3 on Sunday. The Chargers are also 4-5 against the spread. The Packers are 3-6 on the season, but 4-5 against the spread. They are getting 3 points here. The total is 44. Bear, what you thinking?
People are really going to lay points with the Chargers here. Like, they're completely untrustworthy.
Look, I told you about the Atlanta. They're on my no wager list. The Packers and New England are also. So
we got two no wager teams here against each other for you.
Not the Chargers. No, it's Packers Patriots. The Packers this year to me are like, I gives me hives betting on the Packers.
Well, hopefully I will not walk into the studio next week with a case of the hives.
But you can't put the Chargers -3 on the road either.
No, best defense is terrible.
It's bad.
Jordan Love actually played, I think, probably his best game of the year.
Jordan Love is getting incrementally better each week.
The missed PAT cost them at least a chance at overtime, maybe potentially winning that game.
The Chargers are gross this year.
It feels every week that the Packers are in a close game as well. You can't trust the Chargers here. I took Green Bay +3.
Yeah, the Chargers are just like, what are the Chargers this year? It's a weird team, man. I want someone else to coach Justin Herbert. As a Justin Herbert fan,
I saw someone tweet out the Chargers all time record is exactly 500.
That would not surprise me.
Which is perfect.
I want Ben Johnson from the Lions coach Herbert. I want Harbaugh to coach Herbert. I want someone that has an offensive background to coach Justin Herbert and turn this team. The Chargers
I want him to be healthy too. His other hand is not.
But the Chargers have so many good football players.
Mm-hmm.
And they play the Chargers each week, which is
they're
so
like a fantasy team.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of good players.
Yeah. Just can't get any wins. All right. Let's get to your final game right now. A game I love this game. It's going to be all in my contest this week as well. Cardinals at the Texans. Texans are favored by 5. Total is 49 in this game. Cardinals are 2-8. They won their first game in a month. Quarterback Kyler Murray was back. So I think you kind of throw out the previous rest of the season for them. Doesn't matter. Texans 4-5. Currently a playoff team. They're also 5-4. Currently playing their 5-4 against the spread as well.
I took Arizona +5. I'm hoping that maybe all of the C.J. Stroud MVP, D'Amico Ryans, Coach of the Year, maybe make the playoffs. I'm hoping all this drives this number up and people get really excited about it. But I would be super worried about laying points here with the Texans. Cardinals have been played well most of the year. Kyler Murray looked good last week. I mean, it could flip on a dime at a moment's notice, but this has to be Cardinals or pass.
What do you think the look headline was on this? I guess it's kind of tough because Murray hasn't played this season.
Like the look at before the year.
Well, before the year, this is probably a pickup, I'd imagine, right? Close, maybe Cardinals favored by a couple points.
Yeah, I'd say probably Cardinals one.
Yeah, one or two. I'm a big proponent in the NFL. We've seen a lot this season of fading the hot team. That's not the Chiefs, right? Or not the Eagles. Is the Texans, remember, just lost to the Panthers a couple weeks ago. They're not a team that is unbeatable. And the Cardinals with Kyler Murray are better. They looked better last week. Murray was able to lead them back for that comeback. They have some juice with Kyler Murray there. And the Texans are rightfully getting all the attention they deserve for their season so far. But this is absolute week to fade them. You have to do it. You have to fade the Texans. It's not an anti-Texans take. I like them. I like watching CJ Stroud. But in the NFL, if you're a young up-and-coming team as the Texans are and you're getting all this national attention, you just have to auto-fade them, man. You have to do it.
They did lose to the Panthers a couple weeks
ago. Yes, 13-12. Yes, they're not a team that...
In the game you were at.
Okay, yes, I go to all the Panthers home games. Big Panthers fan. Let's get to the recap of these picks before we get to Gambling Group Chat and our best bets and our Survivor. We're still alive in Survivor, some of us are. You have the Titans +7 at Jacksonville. You have the Packers hosting the Chargers at +3. And you have the Cardinals on the road getting 5 points against the Texans. Next up, our favorite of the week, the Gambling Group Chat. We talk all things NFL, little coach of the year odds. Where are we handling some of the futures right now? The teams we like this week, we handle it all. It's Bear, Will Hill, Sammy P, and myself. Here's Gambling Group Chat.
Gambling Group Chat is back. Myself, Sammy P, Will Hill, Jeff right here next to me. I guess I'll start with the biggest story, at least in terms of an injury on the field this week. Deshaun Watson now out for the year, and they're going to go with DTR against the Steelers, who continue to win games. Line open to 4.5. Now with the injury move, it's down to pick in a lot of spots. I'll have some thoughts on this later in the show. But Jeff, what do we think here?
But the game, I would never take the Steelers as a road favorite, I'll tell you that.
Well, you're not laying points, at least. It's a pick 'em.
It's moving now.
It's a pick 'em.
The Steelers...
Total's 33.
The Steelers, I know, it's ridiculous. It's very funny. The Steelers just can't keep doing this, right, guys? Like, they can't keep getting outgained and winning football games. And some of these times are getting outgained because teams are behind and trying to come back, which is what happened last weekend. But nonetheless, I mean, the Steelers' defense is good, not great, right? We know Watt's good. Now, I think the question with the Browns, too, is if you're out your quarterback and both your tackles still, and we know your left tackle's out, I don't know about the right tackle, like, that's a problem for me still, right? So I don't really have a play on this game, guys, but I don't know how the Steelers can keep doing this is my thought, right? Like, if the Browns are able to move the ball at all in this game, I think the Steelers will not be able to move the ball, as we've seen throughout the season against the Browns defense. It's hard to move the football. So I would probably lean Browns, but don't feel great about it.
Yeah, it's like the line from Breaking Bad. What's it, Jesse? He can't keep getting away with this. I mean, that's what you feel like when you're betting against Pittsburgh last week. It's a missed extra point. That was a forward pass, too. That should have been a touchdown. I think sometimes when it's in the 1 o'clock window and there's a million games on, a call like that gets lost, where if it happens in primetime, people will be screaming bloody murder. If you can get the 1.5 either way, it's a great teaser leg with a total of 33.5. I think it's moved too much. I always look Sunday night at the local headlines. This was actually 6, and then it's down to 4. It's like, oh, maybe Watson with the ankle's not going to play. And boy, just it's such a blow for the Browns, because you come off such an emotional. That's a crazy win. You're down 14 in the fourth to win the game like that, even after a missed extra point, and now your season is basically over 3 or 4 days later. I don't know. I think the Browns have the better team. I just think you say to DTR, hey, don't lose the game. We'll run it. We'll do play action. We'll punt if we have to, and we'll win the game with our defense. I think the Browns win this game. I think this is a little bit of an overreaction. It's not like Watson was playing great before this. It was a good second half last week, but to me, the Browns at home can get this done.
They like the kid, too. I mean, DTR was pretty solid in the preseason. The reason that we didn't see him the last time Lamar got hurt is because it was a last minute thing on a Friday. That's why they ended up starting PJ Walker. I think that was against Baltimore. But with the full week to prepare, I think that he's going to minimize the risk for DTR. Let me say this. I think a lot of people want to know how we think sometimes, maybe not everybody, but we're on this stupid phone more than we could admit, all of us. And if you don't have Underdog NFL notifications on your phone, you're clearly costing yourself at least some good prices. Like, I get all those notifications on my phone. And when the buzz came through on Deshaun Watson, it came right to the phone. And as sick as I am and as sick as we are, the first thing I did was, when I saw Watson out, bet the under. Because you know it's going to run immediately, and you know it's going to continue to run for the rest of the week. So this going forward, when you see anything like seriously injury related going forward with the NFL or college, and you see that a quarterback is out, you can literally grab the best available under. I got a 36. Now, I don't want to pass post on this program and say like, oh, I'm the greatest better ever. But look at the number now, guys. It's 33. There's a 32 offshore. It might get lower. So when you see Deshaun Watson out for the year and you get the notification on your phone, you can literally get a number that beats the market by 3 or 4 points, because by the time you see it on the ticker on TV or you hear it on a radio sports update, the line has already moved. Like, people looking for breaking news on the bottom of the screen, that's not really breaking news. The news breaks instantaneously, and the line has to move accordingly. And this line went from 36 to 33 over the course of a day, and it still isn't done. It's still not done going down.
To follow up on Sammy's point, it's such a good point, because they move, like, I think, you know, most bettors think, all right, Watson's out, I'm going to bet against the Browns. They're pretty quick to move that number. Sometimes it's the secondary numbers. There's little angles, the derivatives, like, all right, what's the team total? What's the division price? Is there a future angle where, you know, the main number gets quick to move, but there's some ripple effects. Like, we saw the Ravens. That was my first thought. All right, what are the Ravens here to win the division? They were even money, now minus 115. Like, there's different angles to play it when you get that news. So it's such a good point.
You were talking about the Browns before. Like, I'm holding Browns over 9.5 season wins, and I don't necessarily feel awful. Like, I need to get off of that. At first I was like, oh crap, I gotta get off this now. Like, the total's 10.5. Do I play under 10.5 just to get off? But I'm looking at this. If you can beat Pittsburgh, the Bears, and the Jets at home, and you should be able to beat Pittsburgh, the Bears, and the Jets with those three offenses coming in with your defense, that gets you to 9. And you've got road games against Denver, the Rams, and the Texans. Like, you should be able to win one of those three games. Like, it feels like 10 is a pretty good landing spot. So I might be talking myself actually into playing a little under 10.5 and maybe trying to get a nice fat middle on the over 9.5 under 10.5 here as I look at this, because yeah, I still think the Browns to make the playoffs might be live, because you're going to have to get to 10 in the AFC, and it looks like 10 is a very realistic spot for the Browns here. And I mentioned one of the other teams, Houston, they play them on the road Christmas Eve. Everyone's favorite team, I think, in the league right now is Houston. C.J. Stroud's going to be the MVP and the Offensive Rookie of the Year. D'Amico Ryans is going to be Coach of the Year. The Texans are going to make the playoffs, maybe even win that division now. I'm pumping the brakes on that this week. I actually am against the Texans this week. I took the points with your guy Kyler, who had an unbelievable game in his first game back last week. So I like the Cardinals plus the points. Am I crazy, Sammy, for liking the Cardinals? Are Texans a little too overvalued here?
No, not at all. I think the move earlier in the week told a real story. You know, this thing got blasted from 5.5 down to 4. And I stand by what I said last week. And I know I got torched in the comments on social when our team clipped the thing of me saying that they should not play Kyler Murray. And you know, after the game, it's like, oh, yeah, that's why you play the game, you dork. And I'm like, all right, like, I get it, but now you're not
going
to pick.
Here's the point going way over your head.
Yeah.
It just, okay, cool. Like, Kyler Murray wins a couple games, and now you're picking 6th overall. Congratulations. Like, you could have had a generational quarterback, or you could have taken a superstar wide receiver and Marvin Harrison to pair with Kyler Murray, or a left tackle of the future for Kyler Murray. But no, you want to win a meaningless game and finish with 4 wins instead of 2 wins. If that's how you want to play it, that's fine. It's still stupid. It's stupid as hell that you're trying to win games when you're so close to picking 1st or 2nd overall, and I stand by that. As for the game, this total is on the move, 47 to 49. But I will probably, you know, I like this week a lot more than I like last week, and we all pick these contest plays and all that. Arizona plus 5 will be in my contest for sure. You have to fade the hype here. CJ Stroud for MVP, D'Amico Coach of the Year, all that stuff makes this just a little less attainable. And how about this? Houston's been outstanding as a dog. Only one non-cover as a dog. Houston as a favorite this year, 0-3 ATS.
Yeah, just a friendly reminder, everybody, this great Houston team did lose to the Panthers a couple weeks ago. So life comes at you fast in the NFL.
Do you remember after week 5, the discussion was Brock Purdy for MVP, right? Brock Purdy's MVP, best player in all of the football. And then the Niners went to the Browns and lost. 2 weeks ago was Jared Goff, MVP. Is the Lions the one seed, which might still happen, by the way. And they went to Baltimore and lost 37-3. Now we're doing CJ Stroud, MVP. MVP, guys. He played a good month. MVP of the NFL. Oh, my God. The best quarterback in all of the NFL, right? The MVP of the NFL. They're going to lose this weekend. This is what happens in the NFL all the time, right? Instead of just saying, like, CJ Stroud, you're doing a great job. He's doing a fantastic job. D'Amico Ryans, bravo, man. You're doing a great job this year. You guys are exceeding expectations. Stroud is clearly the quarterback of the future in Houston. No. We have to attach MVP, coach of the year to all this stuff. And in the NFL, it's the best sport of humbling you. The second the talk starts coming out, as much as the players and coaches say, I don't hear it. I don't listen to Twitter. I don't listen to the TV. I've been in the facility. The TV, we have a TV right here. It's on. It would be on ESPN. It's on NFL Network. They see all this stuff. They're going to lose this weekend. And I'm very happy to take Arizona +5.
That was very impassioned. I feel very confident now that you're as animated and passionate.
Well, I just think, why do we do this? Like, why can't we just give someone props without going to the fact of saying they're the MVP? Like, that was the immediate discussion on Monday. It was MVP CJ Stroud. Guys, like, take a deep breath. To Will's point, they lost 13-12 to the Panthers 2 weeks ago, right, Will? That was 2 weeks ago now, 3 weeks ago now. Like they just had a bad game 3 weeks ago. Now they're the MVP. Like, just take a deep breath, everyone.
And you mentioned
he's not winning the MVP. It's not happening.
He's not.
25-1. I mean, the books are literally telling you, when you look at the market and you see him 25-1, despite as good as he's played and he's been awesome, he's still 25-1. Like, they are literally telling you, hey, come on down and bet it. We'll give you 25-1 because it's not going to happen. But how about this, Bear? CJ Stroud -2,000 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. That is done.
Yeah, and people would like scoff at like ever doing this, but like, if you can find a place to take a hell of a lot of money, like, isn't it just like a we're November? It's a 2 month mutual fund, isn't it?
What if he gets hurt?
That's a good question. If he got hurt this second, what would happen?
I still think he wins it. Yeah. Who are you? I mean, Nakua has done nothing lately. Bijan's nothing.
But if you miss, I mean, we still have half the season left. If you miss half the season, not half the season, we have 7 weeks left. If you miss 7 weeks, they're still going to give you the Rookie of the Year award?
I just don't know who. I mean, Devon Achane's missed a bunch of time as well.
Frank Reich's calling plays again in Carolina, so, you know.
Oh, it's no longer Thomas Brown?
No, it's back to Frank Reich.
Oh, okay, good. Clearly, that was it. By the way, like, he's probably hoping he gets fired, I would think. You got no picks. Your quarterback that you didn't want is the quarterback you didn't want is your quarterback, and the quarterback you wanted is going to win Rookie of the Year. He probably goes to sleep every night just begging, like, maybe just fire me, pay me out, get me out of here. I just can't deal with this. But you mentioned Goff, and you mentioned the Lions. We talked Ryan's Coach of the Year. Like, that's the one market out there that right now I do think is still bettable. I think you hate to hold it against Dan Campbell that the Lions are good and he's favored to win Coach of the Year. And you don't want to say, the Lions were supposed to be good. He shouldn't win because he has a good team. But at some point, though, don't you have to – that award to me always goes to, like, the team or the coach that kind of overachieve the most. Like, Ryan's would be that guy, I think, if they get into the playoffs. But I think Kevin O'Connell right now would be the bet for me. I think he's around – +750 or so, maybe in a little bit longer. Because if they in the NFC, there's a really good chance they're going to wind up in the playoffs. And like, if they make the playoffs after losing Cousins and losing Jefferson, like, how does he not win Coach of the Year?
Because Dan Campbell is liked by everyone. They're going to be the one seed possibly. Like, that's how it works. I mean, I think Dan Campbell, if the Lions get the one seed, he's absolutely winning this award. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, He's a guy that everyone likes, they root for, right? He's a guy that has this is the Detroit Lions. I was in the Lions in 2016. I was in the preseason there. We got booed on the first drive of the preseason for having a 3-and-out. That's the Lions history, right? Like, I remember I turned to someone who'd been there a while. I was like, is this really happening? They said, yes, we just got booed. There could be the one seed, man, with the Niners and Eagles behind them. I think there's no chance he loses this award if he's the one seed. Now, if they don't get to the one seed, that's another debate. Even the two, maybe he wins the award. But to me, Kevin O'Connell has to – you got to keep winning, first of all, which I think they might. But I think it's Dan Campbell or bust right now, guys. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
If Mike Tomlin gets the Steelers to the playoffs, getting outgained, outscored, out everything, he's never won this award. He's never gotten top five. He's kind of the star of the team, sort of like Daboll was the star of the team last year. And you couldn't hear about the Giants without hearing about Daboll within a first sentence or two. It's the same thing with Steelers. You hear about the Steelers, and the first thing people say is Tomlin. If he gets the 10 wins, he gets in the playoffs, he's going to be very live to win this award. Double digit odds. That's still the best bet for me.
You said too, didn't you say last week to bet him at 22-1? And now yeah. You pull up the apps and he's 10-1. This is the point about markets like this. They are so overreactionary and so volatile. Yep. I mean, you could have bet Kevin O'Connell, Mike Tomlin, and D'Amico Ryans at 16-1 or higher in the last month. Now, you don't want to just gobble up, coach of the year bets and just put them all in your pocket. But this thing is going to change and turn and continue to flip. I mean, look, if Mike McDaniel rattles off three wins and the Dolphins are suddenly, a lock to win the AFC East, he goes from 7-1 back to 4-1. If Dan Campbell loses a game the Lions shouldn't lose, he goes from 150 to, 275. It's going to continue to turn. Any of these guys could win it. There are five or six coaches that could win it. And remember, we still have like a whole bunch of the season left. Like a lot of things could continue to go right or wrong for all of these coaches.
You know who I was thinking about that wasn't even listed? Because Dable's listed 500-1. Belichick's 500-1. I'm willing to take those bets if anyone wants to DM me. Antonio Pierce wasn't listed. Where he never got them in the playoffs. The media likes him. He's a good story. Nobody likes McDaniels. I'm surprised he wasn't at least listed. I'm not advocating a bet for him. I was just scanning the odds out of curiosity. I was surprised he wasn't listed.
Do you know the five quarterbacks the Raiders have been this season? Can I give you guys a list of the five quarterbacks? Russell Wilson, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Jordan Love, Tommy DeVito. Yeah, the Raiders are not making the playoffs. I just want to make
clear. Yeah. No, I
hope they don't win a game.
I was just surprised. Yeah, me too, Bear.
They can win seven games. They can win seven games, just don't win eight. That might be a hint as to firing a Vegas under 7.5 season win total.
No one will post a Giants win total.
No, it's up. It's 3.5. It's 3.5.
Oh. Well, they're at 2 right now, right?
Correct.
They're not winning 2 games, are they?
We hope not. We certainly hope not.
Yeah, we're worried about that Cardinal under now, aren't we?
Yes.
How are you playing that now, especially with Kyler back and clearly there looks like to Sammy's point, trying to win games for some reason. I get Gannon wanting to see what he has, but wow, it's kind of malpractice to just give up maybe an opportunity to get a number one or a number two pick.
No one's ever accused Arizona of being well run, right? So, like, this is not a surprise. I mean, their owner's is in, what, 2 lawsuits right now over his handling of, or at least one, right? Maybe a second one. There's articles that come out every 3 months about how terrible the Cardinals are run, like, and the internal strife and disorganization there. Like, it's no surprise. I mean, Sammy, your point is exactly correct. You had a chance to just let Kyler Murray hang out, earn his paycheck, rehab, be in the building, and get yourself a generational talent. Or, by the way, if you decide that Kyler Murray is your guy for next season, you could trade the picks you get for Caleb Williams or Drake May and rebuild your entire roster with all those picks. Instead, you're choosing to win games that don't mean anything for the future. This means nothing this season, right? Nothing happens this year. It means anything for the future. Other than now, you do not have that possibility to trade, for 7 draft picks or draft yourself a quarterback. And organizations that do not look forward like this are the ones that continue to struggle each and every year because they end up just being mediocre. You have to look forward, and the Cardinals are not looking forward right now. And it's going to cost themselves an opportunity to really rebuild their roster this offseason.
You look at some other games last week, Jeff. A couple weeks ago, I beat Will in the college pod with my best bet last week. I laid one down on you. You had the Jaguars.
What happened last week? I didn't watch that game.
Niners just scored again. I'm fading Jacksonville again this week. I'm not there with this team. I'm not laying 7 with the Jaguars. I took the 7 with Tennessee. I think this is a vintage Vrabel spot. They were terrible last week. Awesome decision by Vrabel to kick that field goal to make it 17-6. Just a wonderful decision he made. Like, I didn't get that at all. But here, getting the full 7 against the Jaguar team that I am not fully sold on. I like the Titans. Anybody else have a thought on this game?
Jags are teasable to me. Like you kind of have to bounce back here. And, you know, we talk about this all the time. If you can just forget what you saw last week, you'll do pretty well. Like the Jags, the truth is somewhere in between. I don't know that they're a legit contender. They feel a little paper tiger-ish. And I don't know that Lawrence, who's billed as this great quarterback, like, he's an okay quarterback. He's fine, but I don't know that he's ever going to be what he's supposed to be, like the next Peyton Manning, the next whoever. But to me, Jags bounce back. They probably win this game. Like you said, I'm not laying 7. Perfect teaser spot. You pair him with, you know, whoever's getting a points in Cleveland, Pittsburgh. You tease him with Minnesota up to 8.5. But it would be Jags or nothing, but Jags and the teaser is the better way to go. I'm just not laying the 7.
Big one, obviously, Monday night. The Kelce Bowl rematch of the Super Bowl. Chiefs minus 2.5. But I love the fact both of these teams are off of the bye. Feels like the Eagles are kind of the sexy underdog pick in this game that I would be a little bit worried about. So much talk about how the Chiefs were kind of fortunate to win that game last year. Jeff, you know Randy's record off of the bye.
21-3, insane number like that. I just make it a habit of almost blindly taking Mahomes anytime he's under 3 points as a favorite. Like, or he's rarely a dog, so it's really a conversation to have. Like, he just wins and covers these games at an abnormal rate. Like, I don't know how you just don't, if you don't have a great feel for it, I just take Mahomes as a slight favorite, and that seems to work out well. Guys, the Chiefs defense is really good. Like, they're really good. They're going to play well in this game again because they played well all season. And yeah, the tush push is a thing, whatever. You don't get 4th-and-1, you don't worry about it, right? And I think the Eagles were 8-for-8 in the Super Bowl on it. But more importantly, the Chiefs offense is going to figure itself out. It's going to figure it out. And the Eagles are slightly worse on offense this year and slightly worse on defense. They're not the same team they were last year. The Chiefs arguably are much better on defense, falling back on offense. But we trust Patrick Mahomes, right, to figure this thing out. So to me, if Mahomes is anything under 3, I'm taking Mahomes and the Chiefs here.
How about more Chiefs stock? Anybody want more Chiefs Super Bowl stock at 5-1? They win this game.
Love some.
All the 5-1s go away. I mean, look, this team is going to be likely the one again in the AFC. 13-4, 14-3. The AFC will again go through Arrowhead for like the 5th or 6th year in a row. And then when you have Chiefs 5-1 in your back pocket, you could bet off it. You could bet other teams in the AFC. You could bet a team in the NFC. Like, you don't need to just make – it's so funny. Like, everybody wants to know, and we all do it. We all do this content stuff. Everybody wants to know, going into the Super Bowl, who do you like in the Super Bowl? What's your favorite bet? And it's always a coin flip game that could go either way. Why don't we just take a little Kansas City right now at 5-1 and have that in our pocket going into the playoffs? It was 6-1 before the season. Okay, you lost a dollar of value. But who would you rather bet right now? You get the best quarterback on the planet at 5-1 that's likely going to be the one seed again. What are you waiting for? Just do it.
I have done it, and I probably will do it again. And that's kind of what we were talking about, Sammy, a couple of weeks ago when it was time to buy some 49ers stock as well before the game last week. No, they lost 3 in a row. This guy is throwing Purdy. They need to get Trey Lance back and bench Purdy. His deal with the devil is up, and all these things. Like, pump the brakes. The Niners still might be a good team. Just they kind of reminded everybody of that last
also
week.
Also, a note on Kansas City in the postseason. If they host as our colleague here, Nick Wright, calls the Arrowhead Invitational for the 6th straight season, as it currently sits right now, which playoff team in the AFC are the Chiefs going to be even concerned about playing? Because the Bengals right now are not in the playoffs. The Bills are not in the playoffs. Like, which team is coming to Arrowhead and you're like, man, I'm worried the Chiefs aren't going to win this game? Baltimore, who they played well in the playoffs against.
Yeah.
Are you worried about the Jaguars coming to town? Are you worried about the Dolphins coming to town? Like, which, so I think to Sammy's point, to our point, like, it feels like a good spot to take the Chiefs right now, looking at the rest of the, now the Bengals are the one that I'm always worried about, but if they don't win the game against, you know, the Ravens, and I mean, they might not be in the playoffs.
You know who I would be worried about? Who? I'd be worried about the Browns just because of that defense. And now the Chiefs offense has kind of been up and down, still haven't really clicked in yet. I think that Browns defense is, I mean, we saw a couple of years, I think that Browns defense is good enough potentially to give them problems. Now, that we don't trust the Browns probably to score enough points to win that game. But that would be a very uncomfortable game, I think, if I were a Chiefs fan.
I'm going to feel pretty good.
This sounds like wishful Chiefs thinking, somebody with a Browns ticket. Yes.
Yeah. I would say if Dorian Thompson Robinson shows up to Arrowhead on January 30th.
You'll drive him to the stadium.
January 30th. As a Chiefs fan, I will be not concerned about the results of that football game. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah.
It fits right in.
I do.
Think about all the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. You got Mahomes, Brady, Stafford, Mahomes, and DTR. Perfect.
Exactly. In the great tradition, the UCLA quarterback lineage of Super Bowl winning quarterback, Troy Aikman to DTR, right?
Exactly. Yes.
I do have some very nice Browns tickets that I was a little disappointed about this week. I got like a 45-1. I got like 23-1 to win the AFC. Yeah. That was a tough one, but maybe a little bit of wishful thinking. But I do think that Browns defense could potentially make that game not super, super easy for them. You mentioned Buffalo not in the playoffs. Like, debacle again. Like, we talked about a few weeks ago how the Bills to miss the playoffs might be worth a bet.
I took it.
And that look is looking like it's in play. And that being said, I think they want to have the Jets and the Raiders maybe the next 2 weeks. Is that who they have?
No, the schedule Jets, really picks up. No, they have the Jets are coming up. Chiefs, at Eagles, at Chiefs, at Eagles, Cowboys. They still have at Dolphins. They still have the Chargers. Their schedule after this week, they better win this week. After this, it's brutal. And look, you're going to need to get to 10 in the AFC. They're 5-5, so you're going to have to go 5-2. At Chiefs, at Eagles, Chargers, at Dolphins, and good luck getting a 5-2. The defense is a mess. McDermott, they're probably going to have a new coach in a couple of months. I would have had a new coach after that game against Kansas City a couple years ago in the playoffs. That 13 seconds was just absolutely ridiculous coaching malpractice. So it seems like they missed their window. They're going to have to recalibrate, get a new coach, maybe get the Lions offensive coordinator, and just kind of start over, you know, this summer, next fall.
The Bills, what's wrong with the Bills is that their drafts have not been very fruitful. I mean, I can look at the list right now. I mean, Kincaid obviously seems like a good player. Osiris Torrance is rookie offensive lineman. Elam Cook, running back, okay. Bernard's playing a lot for them. Shakir, Rousseau's okay. Where are the Epinesa, Zach Moss? Like, where are the game changing players they have drafted the last four or five drafts? The answer is very little of those players, right? Like, and that's the problem. They're not a talented football team. Josh Allen sort of pieces that over, but then when Josh Allen doesn't play up to really his standards he had 3 or 4 years ago, the turnover machine that he is, he's the most interceptions, I believe, since entering the NFL, right? I mean, he just turns the ball over way too much. Then you end up having a situation where you can't beat teams because you can't make it up anywhere else around your roster. And firing Ken Dorsey does nothing. That the Bills' offense is not the problem right now. And so they're just a bad roster sort of pieced together by Josh Allen. And when he's not Superman, the rest of the poor roster shows up. So you're right. I mean, McDermott's probably out of there. I would imagine they're going to hire an offensive coach and try to sort of fix what's wrong with the offense. But they need better drafts. They're not drafting impactful players.
Would you lay the 7 this week against the Jets?
No. They already lost the Jets. I'm not touching.
I'm aware. I watched the game.
The Jets are feisty enough, and Buffalo are just untrustworthy to me. So I would stay away from that game. Many other options.
Would either of you guys, Will, Sammy, lay 7 with the Bills here in the must win? Who is it? It's Dr. Bob, isn't it, Will? Who says if you're in a must win game, you must not be very good.
It's a good line. I feel like this is actually a good buy low spot for the Bills. The only thing that would keep me off of it. Allen has struggled with those solid defenses for whatever reason. I mean, go back to opening night in past years. They've given him fits, but it would be Bills or nothing. I just don't know that the Jets can keep up offensively.
I'll probably do it again. I did it last week like a fool. I laid 7 against Denver. 4 turnovers, and they still like have a chance to push that, though. You know, like that's the maddening part about Buffalo. They had 4 turnovers, and in the fourth quarter, they got the ball in a tie game. And they could still, you could still push the 7. That's why it's so frustrating. I am not on Buffalo, but I am betting the Rams off a bye. Took the Rams +1.5. You could take a 1 right now. Stafford healthier, probably going to give it a go. Cooper Kupp healthier, offensive line getting healthier. McVay off a bye, not a bad bet ever. And this Chicago-Detroit over is still speaking to me at 48. Guys, Justin Fields is one of the best over quarterbacks we've seen in the last 2 years. He's about 68% to the over. Bears were one of the best over teams in the league last year. You put Fields back under center this weekend. This number opened 45, 45.5. It got hit, but I still think Detroit's going to score in the 30s. And we know with Fields, they can move the ball. But really, Chicago's defense blows. It is so bad. They have so many issues in the secondary. They can't, Jeff, they can't contain at the line of scrimmage. And Detroit, as we know, is good enough to run it up. I think even at 47.5, 48, I would play that over in Chicago-Detroit. There's going to be a lot of points in Detroit.
Any other games out there, Will? Anything out there that we have not hit yet that you want to sneak in?
I mean, it's getting away from you a little bit. It's up to 13.5, but we've seen this movie with Miami before where they just beat up on these bad teams. There's a couple of these front runners in the league, Miami, the Cowboys, where it's hard to make the line high enough. Like Bill, like Cowboys Giants last week, he couldn't make that line high enough. It's almost, call it the bartender special, whatever, but you're going to look up at this game. It's going to be 14-0 Miami. It's probably going to be 38-13 or something. I don't know that the Raiders can keep up. You get Miami off of a bye, off of a loss. The Raiders kind of fat and happy. So at 14, I'd lay off, but under anything under 14, which is at right now, I would lay it here with Miami.
Speaking about that same sort of philosophy, you're taking the Cowboys on the road in Carolina minus 14.5. I will say this will be a Cowboys home game. I live in Charlotte. A lot of Cowboys fans.
Are you going?
No, I'm still not going to the game. No, still not going. Are you laying with the Cowboys too? Because your exact point is the same thing with the Cowboys. They've been every bad football team they played outside of Arizona by a lot of points this year. The Panthers, we mentioned earlier, switching play callers again back to Frank Reich. I mean, they're a dumpster fire right now. I'm not liking the Cowboys in the situation. I don't know if I trust them on the road in this spot, but is the same philosophy apply here for them?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do this too much where I'm laying double digits, especially on the road. So one a week I can do. I did the Cowboys last week. I'm going to stay away from the Cowboys. The hook bothers me a little bit, but I do think Miami's one that pulls away.
Yeah, there was one other game that I think we maybe should mention just because two teams that have completely turned their seasons around. I mentioned O'Connell and the Vikings. O'Connell maybe is a coach of their candidate. Denver, the team that actually did win that game on Monday night, courtesy of the Bills. Meltdown with too many men on the field and the turnovers.
So bad.
You want to lay 2.5 though with the Broncos now at home. I mean, Russell Wilson, but set people, everyone looking for an apology now, being that he's what, second in the league in touchdown passes. That Minnesota defense is pretty darn good though. And I know they had some injuries this week, but Dobbs is playing well. Still though, they feel, I don't know if I fully want to get involved in this game. I mean, it would be Vikings or pass for me, but they feel kind of little like underdog with fleas in this game, I think. Don't you think, Sammy, Vikings might be a little trendy?
I'd rather drink bleach than bet that game.
let's save some time right there. Will, do you want to join me with the Vikings, or do you want to join Sammy at the bar with a little shot of Clorox?
How about the under 44, 43.5? Denver sort of morphed into an under team. They take the ball out of Wilson's hands. They give it to Javonte Williams. The defense has played a little better. I know last week was turnover prone. In terms of like, you know, they didn't really stop Buffalo. Buffalo had over 7 yards per play. But if you blitz Wilson, you can get him in trouble. Flores is going to blitz. So to me, this has got like a typical, you know, 23-20, 2023 game where it's a primetime under. I know we like the over in the Thursday night game. We'll see how that goes. But to me, this is an under game.
I didn't figure he's a trend guy, Will, going right back to the primetime under, just like a sucker. No,
it's a lock.
The reason why the primetime unders is a thing is because if you see the quarterbacks who are playing in primetime the last 4 weeks of the season, like the quarterbacks suck. That's so bad. Sunday night
long established scientific
O'Connell Wilson Sunday night. That was
it's the sad thing is as a Jets fan, I went to bed in the third quarter.
So did I. I was dead asleep.
I could not do it anymore.
Monday night, I fell asleep. I was out. I'm not watching these bad quarterbacks.
I think a lot of that had to do with the result in Dallas, where somehow I got sucked into an in-game under, and that did not.
I can sum up the Jets game for you, Bear. I can sum it up because Salah said after the game, he said Zach Wilson's been playing very well, so he's not going to bench him. He's been playing very well. So that's the summary.
it's amazing. Like, he can't honestly believe this. Like Jeff, he's got to say this publicly.
He does,
but he knows that his quarterback stinks.
It's not good. I think that it's funny how Joe Douglas gets no heat really sometimes for what they did here, but not having a backup quarterback any sort of valuable option. And then also when you see Josh Dobbs get traded at the deadline.
From the Browns, got traded. And, by the way, he was with the Browns before the year.
Then Cardinals. But even when you see him get traded to the Vikings and come out and win his first two games, and the idea of just.
Such a good point.
We're going to trust Zach Wilson with Nate Hackett. We've seen Nate Hackett. Again, I think with Nate Hackett, now they might have been good with Aaron Rodgers this year, but he has never been good as an OC. His best year was 2017 with Bortles, and I think it was 2017, right, with Bortles, 2018 with Bortles, and they were like 15th.
Bortles service.
And they were like 15th, like in Jacksonville, like in total offense. Like it wasn't like a good season. So the idea they just roll with Zach Wilson, and again, the team has winning pieces there, and it's not acceptable for them just to decide to throw their hands up in the air and basically punt on the season.
A lot of veterans in that year of sacrifice and a great season from a defense. You mentioned Dobbs, and just before we wrap it up here, Will, I know you're high on Dobbs. Would you bet him to win comeback player of the year? Do you think Hamlin has it wrapped up after getting on the field and actually making a play on defense, played a couple of games now? I mean, we've talked about it before. Hamlin is the clear favorite. Do you think Dobbs is still worth a play or no?
Dobbs is a great story. Let me ask you a quick question. Did Dobbs die on the field last year? Let me answer the question. No, he did not. Hamlin's going to win the award. Hamlin has to win.
Wasn't Hamlin on the field when Buffalo had 12 guys? Wasn't Hamlin like a part of that?
Edit that out. We're going to edit that part out too. We're not going to listen to that. That's irrelevant.
Okay. All right. That cost him the game.
Was he? I know he was on the field before that, but was he on the field for field goal?
I don't think he's on
the field. I thought he was on the field when they had 12 guys on the field, but I could be wrong. I don't want to salt DeMar Hamlin.
Wasn't his fault, right? It was Ken Dorsey's fault that there were 12 guys on the
field. Yes, exactly. It's all Ken Dorsey's fault. Hey, Miami fans are excited about it. Yeah.
I got another stat for you. I just found this in the wood chipper. Quarterbacks whose mommies still make their bed are 0-3 ATS. Did you know that?
Wow. Commanders minus 9.5 max.
The Commanders 9.5 this week, I know will be enticing, but there's just, you can't do it, right? There's just no way.
They wouldn't beat the University of Maryland by 9.5.
Right. 9.5? I know DeVito's not good, but like, come on.
No.
That's insane.
Well, I don't think any of us could possibly top that valuable information that Sammy just gave us. I mean, that's all the reason in the world.
You need to tweet out later by that same account.
Exactly right. Bet the Commanders minus 9.5. Documented winners. Tommy DeVito, Mommy's Make Bed, Sausage and Peppers, Meatball. I want to go to the DeVito household for dinner on Sunday now, maybe to take in, watch that game. Over a nice little bowl of pasta and gravy. So, guys, fun as always. Until next week, hopefully we'll have a successful weekend. Talk soon. Yeah, a lot of stuff kicked around there. With the crew. I don't know. Commanders Giants. What a great game.
Just no. Just don't do it. I mean, maybe. I mean, you can't even tease the Commanders in this game. It's just no. Just
well,
I mean, you could do.
I'm going to essentially tease the Commanders in this game because that's my top survivor pick.
Washington's already logged in for me. Done.
How? I mean, it's Tommy DeVito, dude. Like the Giants maybe win a game the rest of the year. I know that that the Giants beat them a couple of weeks ago.
14-7.
It was a brutal game. Since then, the Giants have been awful. It's a new quarterback. Howell should throw all over this team. It's an offense. It's not really going to threaten that Washington defense, which also was giving up some plays. The Commanders are play number one. I'm assuming most people have used the Dolphins by now. Clearly, they're the most likely winner.
Yeah.
But if you want to play the game a little bit, if you use the Dolphins, it's Washington. I know the Bills are a little untrustworthy at this point, but I think they're a great play against a bad Jets team this week in a game that they absolutely have to have. I know it might be hard being that they've already lost to the Jets, they lost to the Patriots, they lost to the Broncos, but it's the last chance you're going to get to use the Bills if you haven't used them already. And like we talked about earlier in the show, I'd be careful with Houston and Jacksonville. I think there's a really good chance that one of those, if not both, lose outright.
So I took the Commanders too. I'm sitting good, man. I still have the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Niners, and the Dolphins and the Ravens and the Bengals still left to use. Good spot.
Good spot.
Yeah. I took Washington has to be the play here. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, if you have them available, just take them and be done with it.
I would think so. I mean, some people I think might have used them earlier in the year in week one.
Week one, yeah.
But I'm in the one that I'm alive in with a buddy of mine, there are 47 people left from a large number.
Yeah.
And we're using Washington.
Yeah, I'm using Washington too. Let's recap your picks before we get to the best bets here. So far in the show, you've taken the Tennessee Titans +7 at Jacksonville. You have the Green Bay Packers +3 hosting the Chargers this weekend. You also have the Cardinals +5 at Houston. Bear, what's your best bet?
Once the Deshaun Watson news came out, the Steelers-Brown number just steamed down. And it's now a pick 'em. I actually found a spot last night that the Browns were 1.5.
Yeah.
And now it's clearly a pick 'em. So, I think the Browns will win this game. The move is way too much.
Yeah.
It's still the Browns defense against the Steelers offense with Kenny Pickett, a quarterback. They've been pulling games out of from the jaws of defeat all year long. The coin flip luck, winning out gain, trailing it during the fourth quarter, you name it. Steelers have won these games, and credit to them. The goal is to win all these games. Like Mike Tomlin said, our job's to win games. But at some point, you cannot expect this to continue. I think the Browns, with all the naysayers about their quarterback position right now, I think they show up. Their defense plays well at home. A lot of times you'll find when a team loses someone, everyone, at least for one game, will rise up and kind of raise their level of play. I think we're going to see that. And I love the Browns this week.
But also, Watson hasn't played terribly well outside of a little bit of last week.
Right.
And P.J. Walker is not playing this game, but Dorian Thompson-Robinson is. I mean, they've both shown as backups to be viable backups.
They beat the 49ers correct. With P.J. Walker, and they should have won in Seattle with P.J. Walker.
So they've been viable with having the backup quarterbacks play. And so I think this is a really good wedge, because I think anytime the Steelers are close to a favorite, or when you text us last night at +1.5 for the Browns, I mean, like, the Steelers is a road favorite. It's just absolute no-no. Absolute no. You just can't do it. I know it's a pick-em right now, but I think it's a good play to make here. I'm not betting against you this week, Bear. I learned my lesson from last week.
Smart man.
I'm taking the Dolphins here -12.5 hosting the Raiders. I got this number personally a couple days ago when it first came out, because I just couldn't believe how low it was.
Would you still like 13.5?
Yes. Well, I'm at 12.5 right now. Like I said, I led 13.5, which are some numbers around, but 12.5 right now is on FanDuel, so I'm going to take it. The Dolphins and Cowboys, guys, are the best front-running teams in the NFL. When they're playing a bad football team, they blow them out. Go look at the results of all the Dolphins' wins. It's a blowout everyone except the Patriots early in the year in New England. Same with the Cowboys, right? Blow out every the bad teams. The Raiders have 5 wins against, you ready? You ready? Ready? I have here Russell Wilson before he sort of got better in week 1 by 1 point. Zach Wilson, they just beat by 4 points. Mm-hmm. Mac Jones by 4. Remember, it was 4 because of a safety at the end of the game. It should have been 2. Mm-hmm. Remember? Okay.
Oh, I remember. I was on the other side.
Jordan Love, they beat him by 4 points. Jordan Love by 4 points. And Tommy DeVito by 1,000. The Raiders are not good. They're 27th in the NFL in scoring offense. They're going to go to Miami off a bye. They're upset about their last game they lost. It's going to be a little bit warm. Raiders feeling good about themselves. 2 straight wins against, checks notes, Giants and Jets. This is going to be a bloodbath, Bear. It's going to be like a 42-17 type of game. Dolphins, that's a very college score. Maybe I'll adjust it. 35-17 type of game. Like, it's just not going to be a close football game. Dolphins have shown all year the ability to blow up bad football teams. The Raiders are not good. I'll lay the 12.5. I go all the way up to 13.5, like Will and I talked about in the gambling group chat. And I'm good with taking the big number here.
Yeah, and I mentioned it a little bit in the group chat. I took an under 7.5 on the Raiders win total this year, adjusted. Dolphins, Chiefs twice, at the Colts, Chargers, Vikings, Broncos. Like, if you win 3 games, or you win a couple of games there, get there to get to 8. Right, you have to win 3 because you're 5-5.
Yes,
you win 3 games there. My hat's off.
Yeah, you lost the wager. I want to remind everyone, it's not too late to play the free Fox Super 6 game for week 11. Just download the Fox Sports app right now and make your picks for a chance to win your share of $10,000 a week of cash prize. You can also catch Bear's column on Fox Sports outlining his picks for the Fox Super 6 game this week. So make sure to check that out when it gets closer to game day on Sunday.
you know, hopefully we'll offer some good advice there. Hopefully we offered some good advice throughout the show as well.
I'm never betting against you. We've done that. Will's lost. I have lost. Yeah, it's not
I know. You
don't bet against the host.
You come at the king, and you know what happens. I shouldn't be talking. NFL has been better than college, but
we're getting better in college. It's okay. It happens.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be okay.
Been better.
Another one in the books. Before we know it, next week we got Thanksgiving games. Oh. We'll be out early. Then we got Christmas games, and then playoffs will be here before you know it, and you'll be in Vegas for the Super Bowl. I know. And I'll be in Turks and Caicos watching.
It's going to be a long week in Vegas, buddy.
I kind of wish I was there, but I like the beach better. So I appreciate you tuning in, downloading, subscribing, rating, reviewing, checking us out on our YouTube channel, wherever you consume all of your podcasts. Thanks again for all of your interaction on social media, your suggestions. For Jeff, for Sammy, for Will, I'm Bear. Less you bet, more you lose when you win.